Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. We are your hosts. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We got a good show lined up for everybody tonight. I'm going to throw it over to Karen.
That's right. We're going to be talking to an author. Her name is Marley Gibson, and she writes like non-paranormal books, but she also has written several paranormal books. And one of them is called The Other Side, and she co-wrote it with...
Paranormal God's going to like strike us dead because we have a non-paranormal person on the show?
No, she's a paranormal person.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. one of the paranormal books is a non-fiction book, and it's called The Other Side. She co-wrote it with Dave Schrader, who I hear that you have a man crush on.
I don't have a man crush on. I'm just a really big fan. I love his podcast.
Okay, so bromance there, possible bromance, Rick, Dave Schrader, and Patrick Burns. And it's actually a book that I think is about a really interesting and kind of controversial subject in the field right now. And I, of course, have very definite opinions about it, and that's teen ghost hunting. And it's an instruction manual for teen ghost hunting, which I reviewed the book when it first came out and reviewed it in Paranormal Underground magazine. And really, what I think is that teen ghost hunting is going to happen whether people think it should or not. So somebody might as well write a book about how to do it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I was walking through, allegedly haunted graveyards in Chicago when I was 9 years old. So
right.
I can't have too much to say about it, I guess.
That's right. And the other thing that Marley's written is that she has a series of books for teenagers. And I've actually read a couple of those, too, because when they sent me the book to review for the teen ghost hunting thing, they also sent me these other two books. And they're a teenage fiction, and it's the Teenage Ghost Huntress series. And they're really entertaining, kind of fun books about a teenage girl who discovers she has some psychic powers and gathers together a teenage ghost hunting team, and it's about the things that they do. So
are they glittery and are really full of angst?
No, there is nothing vampire related. Hey, that reminds me. So I saw an ad on television the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that the new Twilight movie that's coming out this week sometime, I think, is the best Twilight movie ever. And here's what I need to know. How high of a bar is that, really?
Just, dude, wash your hair. That's all I gotta say. No, you know what? It's just like I've never seen the movies. I never read the books. Obviously, I'm a 37-year-old man, so it's like, I have no interest in that. But I work with a lot of girls who are in like their the early to mid 20s, and they are all about those books. Oh my god, it's like
teenage girls and their moms like the Twilight series. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I'm sure if I introduce them to Marley Gibson's books, I'm sure that they would love them. So Marley, you may owe me some money.
I think that Marley's books actually have a pretty good and realistic look at what paranormal investigation is, where I'm not necessarily so sure that the Twilight books have a real realistic look at, anything.
No. You know what? We've had this talk before, and when I think vampires, man, I'm thinking like Christopher Lee, and I'm thinking like vampires that just, drive their claws into your chest, rip out your heart, and suck on your blood. Those are the kind of vampires I miss.
Paula.
Hell yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. But yeah, you know what? I mean, having younger people do investigations, maybe not so much of a bad idea. It's just the whole idea of like, you do have potentially dangerous entities out there. And it's always best to kind of like do it with somebody who's a little bit more experienced, has a little bit more research, and done a few more investigations before you kind of really go out there and enter into places like Waverly Hills or the Queen Mary, because these kind of places are filled with some pretty nasty spirits.
Oh well, Cheryl's been on the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl, have you been on the Queen Mary? Didn't you take Corey?
Many times. Many times, yes. I took my son, Corey.
Did anybody smack him down or, you know, steal his soul, drag him straight to hell?
No, thank goodness. That didn't happen.
So no demonic orbs or, you know?
Not that I know of.
Okay, all right, well, all right. You and Corey are safe.
Yay. That's right. Well, and they maybe you know, they have Chad with them and he keeps everything safe. We have one of the members of our team, Billy Oberlander, calls herself, I think she calls herself like the chiller or something. She feels like she's the one that makes all of the paranormal stuff just stop. just take her with you, you'll be fine. When we take our, and we have taken our kids to haunted places, but we've always mm-hmm. gone there first ourselves. And when I go to a location, I have, you know, I don't know if it's bat sonar or spidey sense or whatever it is, I can get a pretty good sense of whether whether something's going on there or not, and B, whether sure. it's anything that's dangerous or not.
Right.
So hey, I also wanted to mention that you know, the place that's kind of our home base, the Lewis County History Museum of History, excuse me, is mm-hmm. going to be, did I mention this last week? It's going to be featured on My Ghost Story on December 3rd.
You did, but why don't you remind us?
December 3rd, Bio Channel members of my team will be reenactors. My good friend Debbie Knapp, who is the museum director, will be telling her story, and you'll get to see a little bit about this place that I mention quite frequently on the radio, where we've Very had cool. things. Where we've had things fly at us across rooms, and you know, it's good story. Good story.
Now, you know what? I saw that picture that you sent with the anomaly and at the light anomaly and
the orb.
You know what? I'm not even gonna call that an orb, because I mean, okay, yeah, there's like a spherical, but it's moving. You know, it's so obvious that it's moving with purpose and it's moving with intent. Mm-hmm. I personally think that it is something manifesting, but I'm sure, you know, 99.9% of ghost hunters out there will disagree, so.
I don't know. The reason that I'm actually suspicious, because you, of course, have seen the photo, as has Cheryl, is sure. the location. The location, what that picture's taken by, is a funeral hack. Mm-hmm. And I believe I've mentioned to you that ever since that funeral hack has been in the museum, you can feel that thing from 20 feet away as you start to approach it, including Techie McScience Geek, who didn't know where the funeral hack was or anything, and he's kind of a chiller too. Mm-hmm. And he was walking out from one of the rooms in the museum, and he had not seen the hack. He didn't know it was there. He was like, oh, mm-hmm. my God, what's right there? And it's right in the spot where people start to feel the hack. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, so even he knew.
You know what, it is funny that you say that you call them the chiller, because I have actually come across people who have claimed that it's like, okay, I go into like a haunted place and I know it's haunted and they've seen all sorts of neat stuff there, and then they go in and it's like, wow, there's nothing. So it kind of makes me wonder, it's like, are there really people that just sort of repulses that kind of energy, just like there's people who bring it in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's gotta be.
I don't know. I think it's actually an interesting concept. And I know that we say it in jest about Jim, and I know that when Billy says it, she says it in jest as well.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't know. My experience is that there are some people who seem to dampen that kind of energy. And mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, when I'm with those people in places that I know are very active, mm-hmm. they become less active.
Yeah. And you know what I call those people?
What?
Taps. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that being said, I think maybe we should probably go to a, you know, break, pay some bills, because I'm sure that's probably going to get us sued. So.
I'm not getting us sued, because, you know, we're just the hosts.
That's right. So, yeah. Cheryl, before you go to commercial, you are to blame.
Thanks, Rick.
Anything we can do for you. So here's what we'll do. We'll go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Marley Gibson. So stick around, Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stick around.
If you are a small business, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
See, now I think it's really funny that that one should be played after my Tabs comment, but no, seriously though, folks, they've done great things for the field. Hey, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale, and tonight we have an excellent guest and author, and I'm going to throw it over to Karen, and Karen, tell us what our lucky listeners have won.
Well, Rick, tonight, under behind curtain number one, so our guest tonight is someone who's, I've read a couple of her books, and she is fresh off of her honeymoon and marriage, just got married like last Thursday, Friday? Was it Friday, Marley?
Friday, 11-11.
Yeah,
nice.
She got married
Friday.
Friday on 11/11. So, everybody say hi to Marley Gibson. Hi, Marley.
Hi.
So, I have to, I actually was sent the book that you wrote with Patrick and Dave Schrader, The Other Side.
Yeah.
To review, and I reviewed it for the magazine when it came out. And then they also, your publisher was kind enough to send me a couple of your Teen Ghost Huntress series books. And I've got to tell you, those things are a home run. Are they doing well? Because they're great, great books.
Oh, well, thank you so much. The first two books have done really, really well. The second and third kind of tapered off a little bit. I don't know if it was because of the time of year they came out or what. And the fifth one's doing really well. So the books are getting darker as they go along. And, you know, maybe I should have gone darker to begin with, but that just wasn't the right feel for me for the series. So I think that the more that the teenagers learn and experience, that it can get a little darker as they get more experience.
Sure.
So why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about the premise of those books real quickly?
Sure. It's the series is called Ghost Huntress, and right now it's a 5-book series, and it is about a heroine who is 16 years old, and she moves from Chicago to a very small southern town in Georgia and experiences her psychic awakening. And because of that, she forms a ghost hunting team with her new friends in her new town, and then the laugh riot ensues. They have to deal with belligerent spirits in this very historic Civil War town that she now lives in. Mm-hmm. So
they're really great books. I've only read two of them, but as an adult, I actually read them and thought, you know, she's got something here with this. There's not anything out there like it, and I think as far as teen series go, I think you found that little niche that there wasn't anything there for, and I think that's great.
Thank you. That was the intention, was to do something different. And I mean, when I got into writing young adult, my agent told me, she says, well, you've got to push the envelope and you've got to do something nobody else is doing. And there was no way I was going to write about vampires because they've been done to death, pun intended.
Extremely.
Yeah. And I needed something different. And I'm really glad that I found out about ghost hunting. And because I'm such a researcher and someone who feels like you really have to know what you write about, I completely delved into the entire field to the point where I am a ghost huntress myself. So,
yeah, way to go.
And I married one.
Yeah, well, you did. And you married Patrick Burns, right?
I did.
And most people know who he is. So,
I liked the show. I thought it was a great television show.
What's
Patrick
that?
Show?
Patrick Show?
Yeah, Patrick Show, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Haunting Evidence. And then he did a couple of stints this past spring and summer on Zach Bagans' new show, Paranormal Challenge. So he's been getting recognized for that lately, too. So that's fun.
So, Marley, let me ask you, you know, you write these books about young people investigating psychical manifestations. You know, what are your thoughts exactly on, you know, say people under the age of 16, 13, whatever, actually conducting investigations themselves or getting involved? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as Karen mentioned, our other book, the nonfiction book, The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, we really address that. Okay. In that, you know, right now, ghost hunting's like the new black, and everybody wants to do it because of all the TV shows. Yeah, and what we try to talk about, you know, kids are going to do it whether they have permission to or not.
Sure.
So
yes.
What we're trying to do is to steer them into a responsible way to doing this. You know, don't go alone, have a mentor, get permission before you go into buildings and stuff like that. But, trying to get them to organize before, you know, instead of just doing stuff recklessly. And, you know, we really, I don't want to say we preach, but we really encourage being responsible because, you know, if you're forming a young paranormal group, you don't want your first publicity to be, you know, your local police blotter.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with kids who are curious and want to investigate. but I think they need to go in groups, and I think they need to have an adult mentor, even if it's just a big sister or a parent or, you know, a lot of police officers love to take people around and do stuff like that. But, you know, just be smart about it.
Yeah, you guys did a really nice job, and I think that that message came across really well in it. And you co-wrote it, of course, with Patrick Burns and Dave Schrader. I read the, like I say, I read the book, and in my review, I said exactly what you did is, you know, you can argue until the cows come home about whether teens should be ghost hunting or not, but that doesn't matter because they are.
Exactly.
So somebody might as well teach them how to do it right.
Exactly. And I have to say, I get a lot of fan mail from young girls, especially from the ages 11 on up, saying, oh my God, this book is about me. I see spirits. I talk to them. What do I do? Who do I talk to? And I always, you know, I always thank them for reading the book and reminding them that it is fiction and that I didn't, you know, sneak into their head and steal their stories. But right. I always tell them, you know, if you're experiencing something that you're not really sure what it is, I appreciate that you came to me for help, but you know what? You need to go to your mom and dad, or you need to go to your,
sure,
you know, that adult mentor in your life, because they need to know what's going on. And I'll also tell them I have plenty of friends who have been through their own psychic awakening, and if your mom or parent gives you permission or says it's okay, I will gladly give you their email to hook you up with them, and then they can answer your questions. Because, you know, I'm just a researcher. I'm just an author. But I get a lot of that, a lot of that.
I think that it really validates for a lot of people. I think you did a really nice job of your research with those teen books, because what you have described is really very, very similar to, I think, what a lot of kids experience. And it's a very frightening and confusing thing. I know as a teen that I had all of these kind of things going on, and there was no way I was going to talk to my religious parents about it.
And so
there was this validation there, I think, for them as they read those. And I think that's great, because I think kids need to be able to get in touch with those gifts.
Well, especially, you know, like when we were growing up, I mean, it was, if you have an imaginary friend, he'll go away, or, you know, you don't talk about ghosts or spirits, they don't exist. And I think nowadays, you know, I mean, I know personally when I, with people like, oh, you got a book deal. What are you writing about? And I say, teenage ghost hunters. Oh, my aunt haunts my dad's house. Or you know, I saw Uncle Fester down the hall. Everybody and their brother start telling me their ghost story. So it's
there's no shortage of material these days.
Oh, God, no. And it's funny because I have a lot of people that will ask me, you know, why do you think there's this big surge in the acceptance of the paranormal? Why is there this big, you know, all the TV shows and the books and stuff, and the answer that was given to me when I started asking that was that when 9/11 occurred, 10 years ago, it was like the most horrible thing that had happened in this country, you know, because Pearl Harbor, which at that point was not really American soil, it was American territory, but we had not experienced this mass death that so many countries on this planet do experience, with, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis and horrible terrorist attacks and stuff. And I think that as a society, it really opened this veil for us to say, okay, what's next? You know, where do my loved ones? Yeah.
That's a good point.
Let me ask you this too. Do you think that you know, in that same vein of thinking, that it's also possible that people are maybe starting to get a little bored of organized religion and are, you know, starting to think outside of the box?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because I was raised, my mother's a church organist, and so I was completely raised in the church. They let me in the choir as soon as one of the choir robes fit me, you know, that sort of thing. And I was raised in the church, very religious, but it was very different, because you went to church to feel good, and you went to church to get this uplifting message and to hang out with your friends and neighbors and to have fellowship. And you had that, you know, love of God, love of Jesus that just filled the air. And the older I got and the churches I started going to, it was, they told me how to vote and they told me who to hate.
Yeah.
You know, you should hate this group of people. You should hate this group of people. And
all of a sudden, Jesus is a Republican. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. And it's just the whole thing with adding the politics and hate with religion really turned me off.
Yeah,
and
it was
you know
a hate
what?
For
I mean,
me. Yep.
I think that might be a very good point you make, because I was at a school recently talking to some kids, and this kid raises her hand and she says, well, it's very apparent you're an atheist. Can you tell us why? And I'm like, you think I'm an atheist? I said, I'm a Christian. I said, I'm afraid from the church. I said, where do you get the idea that I'm an atheist? And she says, well, because of what you write about. And
obviously, they don't know the definition of an atheist.
Yeah.
But
yeah, probably not. And I said to her, I'm like, you know, it's fiction. You know, do you think that people write about vampires actually have them visit them every night and suck on their neck? I mean, it's fiction.
Isn't Stephanie Meyer a Mormon?
Yes, she is, and it's very interesting. If you Google Stephanie Meyer or Twilight Mormon theories or Mormon philosophies, there's a website that has broken down all four of her books that goes straight down the theological lines of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very interesting. But
that's okay. I believe Harry Potter is very biblical. So, you know.
Well, you know, yeah, good versus evil. And I think people in our lifetime have been turned off by the Jimmy Swaggarts and the Tammy Faye and Jim Bakers and all these phony balonies on television who are out there trying to make money for themselves, and they're really not, you know, preaching, you know, love and community and fellowship and love your fellow man and that kind of stuff.
The things that Jesus preached, you mean? The Christian stuff? The love your neighbor?
He's at the voting booth voting Republican. But, how about this, Marley? You know, I like to say that what we're in right now is we're sort of looking at a new age of spiritualism, except with things that go beep. Do you think that that's what we're looking at right now?
I'm not a religious expert or a paranormal expert, but just based on the people I know, maybe so. I mean, we are in this age of change. We got the whole 2012 thing coming that scares the crap out of people. You've got that crazy minister buying the billboards telling everybody the world's going to end. I don't know. I mean, people might be looking for some sort of salvation that may not be necessarily coming from their traditional church. That,
sure.
You know, a lot of people, you know, pray in their closet. You know, their relationship is very private. Or, you know, my dad was a farmer for years, and he loved going out, sitting under a pecan tree and just communing with nature. You know, I mean, he's a very religious man, but he doesn't wear it on his sleeve. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And going back to the chick who asked me about being an atheist, and she says, well, because of what you do, I have never met more spiritually grounded and faithful people than I have in the quote-unquote paranormal community.
Yeah.
Very spiritual people looking
yes.
for answers.
Yes. Yeah, I actually had somebody from my church ask me, I just have to know how you can reconcile what you, you know, come to church for with what you do and what you write about. And I said, well, before I started doing this, I didn't believe that human beings have souls, and now I do. Perhaps this has driven me closer to a belief in God and, you know, spirit than before. So, and she kind of looked at me. I mean, there's this long, drawn-out pause, and she said, I guess I never really thought of that.
That's the thing. People don't think of that. And as much as I respect the teachings that I had growing up, and as much as I respect the Bible, and you have to, at some point in your life, you have to start asking why, and you have to start thinking outside the box and what-ifing, and you have to start experiencing life and religion for yourself.
That's human nature, though, to always wonder why.
Yeah, it is true. It's true. And, I mean, I wouldn't be an author, and I wouldn't have characters if I didn't always ask why. Okay,
right.
If I have a heroine that does fill-in-the-blank, why would she do this? Why would she date this person? Why would she move to this town? That's what my brain is like 24/7.
Sure.
Yep. Why and what if? Those are my two questions.
Exactly. Exactly. And my cat's looking at me like, are you really, really talking about this? I thought we had gotten off the paranormal track. I thought we were at the beach.
Sorry, cat.
We took the kitties with us on the honeymoon. So
where did you guys go on your honeymoon?
Well, and this is interestingly goes back to what we were just talking about. We got married in Key Largo underwater in a diving ceremony at the base of the Christ of the Abyss statue.
Fun. Wow. Cool. Yeah.
That's
very
badass.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And our minister, who we originally signed on to get for the sunset ceremony where we wore like real clothes and stuff, he said, well, you know, I'm a diver too. I'd love to do your underwater ceremony. So we had a religious underwater ceremony as well as the traditional religious vows on the shore as well. But when we went through the whole introduction with him and he said, well, how did you guys meet? And what do you do for a living? You know, we're not going to lie to a minister. And we told him, you know, we're ghost hunters and this is why and this is what we do. And as we're talking to him, you know, we're like, oh goodness, what's he going to say? And he prints out a sermon that he gave on November 1st, All Saints Day. And he says, I'd really like for you to read this. And it was a sermon that he gave to his congregation talking about the history of All Hallows Eve and All Saints Day and the whole origin of that and how he believes that our loved ones who have gone before us are around us, watching us, helping us, guiding us. And it was really cool that this Methodist minister was accepting of what we do, you know?
Yeah.
We told him we're after it for historical purposes, and we're after it for our own answers and our own spirituality. And so, I mean, he was cool with that.
Yeah.
That's great. That's very cool.
So that was fun. And then we had a sunset ceremony in Isle Morada, which is about the middle of the Florida Keys. And then we went down to Key West. We had a lot of the wedding guests came down for one day, and we did a bunch of boating stuff, parasailing and jet skis and snorkeling. And then Patrick and I stayed until today. So we've been down in Key West since Saturday. And we left today.
And you still came on to do our show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Of course she did.
Happy to do it.
Well, so I know that you have, in the process of research, you've been some pretty interesting places. As a matter of fact, I believe I have seen a video of you at Waverly Hills, maybe even on, like, My Ghost Story or something, with a ball rolling around.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, indeed. I was on the premiere episode of My Ghost Story, which was on Halloween of 08. And, oh my gosh, was it that long ago? Wow. Yeah, Halloween of 08. And they showed a little snippet of, I got 18 minutes of video of poltergeist activity of a ball moving around at Waverly. And it wasn't just, you know, rolling back and forth like somebody was blowing it or something. It rolls to one person, then it changes direction, then it goes over this way, and then it changes direction again, and it rolls this way, and it almost gets to somebody, and then it pulls away and rolls another direction. It was insane.
It's a pretty neat video to see. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the places that I investigate is going to be on My Ghost Story here in a week. So,
oh, awesome!
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, and so you've been. But that's what was your impression of Waverly other than the rolling ball then?
Well, that was my first visit to Waverly when that happened, and it was funny because I don't know if you know Stacey Jones, the ghost cop. Stacey's great, and she said to me, I saw that, and the first thing I thought is, why is she not scared out of her mind? She's just sitting there while this ball is like going all around her. And I guess it was because I was so, whoa, look what's going on. I was so entranced with the fact that this was actually happening, and then we had not like conjured it up or anything. It just rolled over to me as I was walking by. I was so into it, trying to get EVP and trying to be professional and get it all on film. mm-hmm. that when it was all over, I started shaking like a leaf, and I was like, holy crap, look what just happened, you know. I have to say that, you know, I had heard from different people that Waverly was off the charts or that you would get absolutely nothing. And so I kind of went in there just with an open mind just to, you know, if I could get a couple of EVPs, I'd be happy. But, you know, I came out with, to me, you know, like almost a holy grail item out of that.
Yeah, you did.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've oftentimes heard that the entity that is said to push that ball is a little boy named Timmy. Now, if you did, you know, with your when you did EVPs, did you, you know, hear any like a children's child's voice?
Yes,
you did.
I got a because I asked what its name was, and the EVP, it's a very soft, young sounding voice. I can't tell if it's a boy with a high pitched voice or a girl with a low pitched voice.
Sure.
It says either Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, or Aaron, E-R-I-N. It's definitely got the cadence for one of those names.
Sure.
But now what's interesting is I have a very good friend. Her name is Maureen Wood. She's with the New England Ghost Project. She's the best psychic you've never heard of.
I actually listened to Ron and Maureen's podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I've read
excellent.
Their book, so it's like, yeah, I'm very much aware of them. I really like their stuff.
Ron and Maureen are excellent friends of mine. And in fact, the character of Laureen in my Ghost Hunters series is Maureen. I modeled her after Maureen. But Maureen is kind of like my mentor. She's the one that was doing a presentation on Ghost Hunting 101 when it hit me that I had to write about teenage ghost hunters. But I showed this to Maureen. I showed her the video, and I said, I'm not going to tell you where I am or what's going on. I didn't tell her anything. And I said, I just want you to watch this and give me your impressions about it. So I sat and watched her watch it. Her eyes are getting really big, and she's just shaking her. She's just nodding her head. And I'm like, okay, so now it's over, 18 minutes. I made her watch all of it. And I'm like, what are you getting? She says, I'm getting a little girl in a white lacy dress, kind of 1920s style. Her hair is in long braids, and she's got a little brother with her. And she said the little brother's like a couple years younger than her. She wants to play ball with you. She's the one that is playing ball with you, and when the ball's getting pulled away from you, it's the little brother. He doesn't like it that she's playing with you and not playing with him. I was like, okay.
Wow.
And she told me he had a very common name, like Jimmy, Timmy, Bobby, something
really?
Like that. Mm. Yes.
Mm.
But I did not get any EVPs that had that.
So part of the story may be true, and part of there may be more to it then.
It may be. And then she's like, well, where is this? She thought it was like somewhere in Buffalo. She's like, is this the Trans-Allegheny thing? I'm like, no. This is Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. But there's a point at the end of the video where I tap the ball a little bit with my fist just to see what'll happen. And I barely tap it. And it goes, it reverses direction, and it comes right back to me. I was like, okay, I'm going to hit it one more time. I hit it exactly with the same force. And I hit it, and it goes, and then it just goes shooting into the other room. Mm-hmm. And I get up, and I go after it. And it was funny because this is completely off camera, but I'm all, like, chasing the damn thing around the room. Every time I try to get it, it rolls away from me. And I finally get it, and I walk back into the frame, and you can hear me say, it feels like something's pulling it out of my hand. And at that moment, I got an EVP that said, hey, let go.
Mm. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Now, I'm going to play the skeptic a little bit with that. Did you guys bring a level to check and see if the floor was level? You did. Okay.
Yes, we did.
Cool.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, because
it was about 100. Yes,
I get that a lot.
Because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm the skeptical believer too. You know, I was like, okay, gurneys came up and down this hallway. It's got to be level. So somebody had a keychain that had a level in it. You know, like a little tiny one, and it was level. There was no breeze blowing that night because it was August and it was 180 degrees. Believe me, we were praying for a breeze. We were all sweating to death. And it was funny because one of the guys, I used to work at a financial firm. I used to work on a sales desk. And, of course, I told all the sales guys, I'm like, my TV show's going to be on. You guys have to watch it. And one of the guys comes up to me the next day. He was like, oh, I watched your show. It's really cool. I love the ball video. It was great. He said, but my roommate doesn't buy it. And I'm like, well, okay, no, that's fine. What did you think it was? He said, well, he said you brought a hamster with you. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, he was convinced there was a hamster in the ball.
Oh,
and I was like, yes. And I was like, yes, because I travel from Boston to Kentucky with a hamster.
And a ball with a special door in it that nobody will see.
That's the thing.
I love how far skeptics or non-believers will go to protect that non-belief, though.
See, and that's funny because something like that just completely almost breaks common sense. Just a question. Putting a hamster in a ball, you know, not only is it impossible, but you will wind up killing that damn hamster by the end of the night.
Exactly. And you think I'm going to get a hamster through TSA?
Yeah, probably not. Not so much, no.
I couldn't get a cigarette lighter through them. You're not going to get a hamster, you know.
Oh, that's a great story. I love it. So you've been to Waverly. Now, where else have you been that's uber haunted?
Well, I have to say, Patrick and I live full time on our RV, so pretty much life is a paranormal road trip for us right now. Because we go
living the dream.
Awesome.
Well, you know, we both work for ourselves, so we drive from conference to conference. In fact, we are heading up to Jacksonville tomorrow for an investigation at the old jail.
Hmm.
If anybody is in the area, we do have some, there are still tickets available. Come hang with us Saturday night. And so we've been, oh my gosh, we've been from coast to coast. We've done Rolling Hills. We've done the Queen Mary. We even went up to Reno, Nevada last winter, like this time last year. We hung out with Mark and Debbie Constantino. We camped out in their front yard, or in their driveway, I should say.
Now, did they know this when you were doing it?
They did know this, yeah.
I'm joking. Guess who's coming for dinner, Mark and Debbie?
But there's this strange RV out there. No, they were adorable. We had such a good time with them. They didn't want us to leave. I mean, we were to the point thinking they were going to, like, slash our tires so we couldn't drive away. We had so much fun with them. Well, because, you know, we do events with them. And they go one way and we go another, and we never really get to hang out with them or see them. So it was so much fun to just, you know, have the four of us doing stuff. But we went up to the Washoe Club, and we did an investigation up there, so that was pretty cool. And, my gosh, I mean, Patrick and I have been so many places. The Lemp Mansion in St. Louis was insane.
Tell me about Lemp Mansion. Stop. Slow down. Lemp Mansion. I've heard things about it.
It's insane. I've never gotten so many EVP in one location.
And
this is terrible because we've been on the road so much. I need to clean this stuff up because there was just, I was having a back and forth conversation with whoever or whatever was present.
Now, Marley, I was just going to say, some people might not really know what the Lemp Mansion is, but can you give us like a brief thumbnail sketch
of it? Sure, absolutely. The Lemp family was a very wealthy family back in the early 1900s in St. Louis, and it is an extremely tragic story. I believe they had four people that committed suicide in or near that house. The mother died of cancer. The father died a violent death, but it was like almost every member of that family died or committed suicide. So there is a great... It's just a great tragedy of death in this family. But the house that they lived in has been made into a restaurant / bed and breakfast. And it's a really neat little place and just off the chart activity for us. I mean, we had visual things that happened to us. We had, we heard things that weren't there. We had EVP. We had smells. You could smell this cherry tobacco. You could smell it in this one concentrated area. And Patrick and I are like going on. It was around Thanksgiving, so we're like going around to all the candles, smelling the candles. Okay, is this a smell? No. Is this a smell? they weren't scented candles. They were just waxy candles.
What I want to know is, were you smelling each other? That's what we do when we get the smells. We all start smelling each other.
We did. We were smelling everything.
I
we
fart when people do that.
That's mean. But yeah, so that place was crazy. We also, while we were out in California, we visited the site of James Dean's automobile crash that took his life. And we were out there at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. It was freezing cold, and we got incredible EVP out there as well. And what we do is our little adventures that we have, we call it Haunted Highways. And we just occasionally
that would make
post
a
things.
Good show.
Yeah. It would be, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It really would. Maybe you guys need to go into development with that because, you know.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Because it's fun. I mean, because we visit with different paranormal groups. We visit with different, quote unquote, celebrity friends. I mean, we've camped out, like I said, in Mark and Debbie's front yard. We've camped out in Chris Fleming's front yard. Our first night in the RV, we camped at Camp Belanger, Jeff Belanger's house.
Yeah.
Ranger Jeff came and woke us the next morning. And, you know, I mean, we just, in addition to friends and family, and it's an adventure for us, I tell you.
Oh, what a great life. We're all sitting here in Skype telling each other how jealous we are of you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't get too jealous because Patrick also has to dump our black water. And
Well, yeah, but I'm jealous of you. Patrick has to do that, not you. See?
Oh, this is true. I get to cook but I have to drive. I have to drive the rig, so it's a task.
Well, you get up here to Washington, and you can park in my driveway, and I'll take you to the haunted locations around here.
Sounds awesome.
Have you guys ever been up, by me in old Chicago way?
We actually, this time last year, we actually started in Chicago. We last fall, we did an event in Baltimore, and then we drove to Chicago, and we retraced old Route 66 from Point Zero in downtown Chicago all the way out to the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, how cool. Fun.
Very cool. Yeah.
It was amazing. And I wish we had more time. We were going to a friend of ours' house out in Southern California for Thanksgiving. So we did that in about 3 weeks. The whole trip, but we stopped in Springfield, we did EVP in front of Abe Lincoln's house, we went to find Resurrection Mary on Archer Street, we went to, what's the theater called, where's Patrick when I need him, where Public Enemy number one, the Dillinger, where is that, the Biograph, we went to the Biograph Theater in Chicago, got EVP of gunshots in the alley.
Okay.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The Biograph is definitely a really neat place. I remember I was actually walking down that alley, and as I was walking down the alley, I'm not kidding you, I actually looked like something like shimmery just sort of ran past me. It was like 8 o'clock
and shadow.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's
same
probably what
thing
I saw.
Happen.
Oh, validation. Thank you, Marley.
Yeah.
Tell Patrick I said thank you.
We're not the only ones that have had that experience, so.
Okay.
It is very common.
Rad. All right, good. I feel better about myself. I thought maybe I was just, seeing one of the hookers that hang out in the area sometimes. on Lincoln Avenue.
out here in the West, every place that you go investigate that's not like somebody's private home was once a brothel. I think that in Seattle and Oregon and, Washington State and all the way down to California, that every business ever was at least for a while a brothel.
Well, it's like everywhere you go in Gettysburg was a hospital, you go. Oh, well, they piled the legs and arms up over there. Okay, yeah, they did that in every building because it was a really bloody battle.
I was going to say, well, they piled the legs and arms up over here, too, but, in a different way, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and also you had all the gold rush out there, too, so the men who worked hard had to have a little entertainment.
I know. It's just we actually joke about it, whenever we are going to go, to a building and not a private residence, the first thing we say is, was it a brothel? And the answer is
was inevitably, yeah, it was. So.
Yeah. And that's another place that Patrick and I love is Gettysburg. Gettysburg is just off the hook. And
I've heard that.
You talk about residual hauntings or place memory. How can a place like Gettysburg, where 65,000 people died in the course of 3 days, how can that not have some memory or images trapped in it? You know,
some energy. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we had for a long time we had a column in the magazine that was from the gal that was a night auditor at General Lee's headquarters at the Days Inn.
Gettysburg. That place is crazy.
And the stuff that she would say, I mean, she said they would hear like cannons hitting the building, cannonballs in the middle of the night, just all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah. We actually had an interesting experience there. We were using two of Bill Chappell's PX devices, and that was right when he came out with them. This was, I want to say, like 2 or 3 years ago, and we were in the General Lee headquarters. We were upstairs, and we had one. It was a three-bedroom suite kind of area that's upstairs there, and we put a PX in each room, and they started talking to each other.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
It was great, and I wish I could remember exactly what it was saying, but it was something like, eat, food, now, sit down. Mm. I mean, the PXs were talking to each other, and then we did this thing where we went around the room and introduced ourselves. It's like, you know, hi, I'm Bob from New York, and Mary from Pennsylvania, and went all the way around the room. The PXs shut up, and then our very last person, our friend
Bunch
Karen,
of carpetbaggers.
Yeah, well, she goes, and hi, I'm Karen from California, and the PX goes, hi there.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, we've had we've got Massachusetts plates on our RV and our car, and the campground that we use in Gettysburg was actually part of the battlefield. I mean, everything was there, but I mean, this really was part of where the Army of Virginia advanced onto Little Round Top, or tried to advance onto Little Round Top. And sure. I mean, we've had things happen that's like, okay, are they taking a shot at the Yankees here on their property?
Really?
Hmm.
Huh. Wow, that's amazing. So,
Yeah,
you know what? Let's do this. We're just getting close to the top of the hour, so while I'm thinking about it before I forget, why don't we take our break now, and you can stick around for a little longer after the break, Marley?
Yeah, sure, just a little bit.
Okay, so Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, we will be back in just a minute.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com. A proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hello, this is Nick Page, the founder of Eastern Washington Paranormal, and I wanted to take a moment to invite you to the EWP podcast. In the show, co-host Greg Wright and I, we take an objective look at paranormal subjects such as haunting activity, UFOs, cryptozoology, and other unexplained phenomena. You can visit us at EWPpodcast.com and download a show for free or stream it right from the website. We hope that you swing by and give the official podcast of Eastern Washington Paranormal a try. Thank you.
I know what you are. You drive too fast, you smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Kale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be.
join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
There's something in your mind you cannot hide. You can try everything, you'll be high in the end. There's something on your cheek that's flowing like a creek. Are there tears, or just dying memories? Keep doing what you do. You are the stolen thief. You keep saying what you say, but remember that everywhere you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. Maybe you think the people would fall into your traps, but look better around you, there's nothing but your lies. You're lost in your mind without no compass. You can try to pinch yourself and wake up fast. Keep doing what you do, but at any way, you are the stolen thief. You keep saying what you say, but beaming but at everywhere, you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. What you do, but remember that anyway, you are the stolen thief. I keep saying what you say, but remember that anyway, you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend.
You're listening to Z Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio, ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick, and we are still chatting with Marley Gibson. Marley, you have been a lot of fun tonight.
Oh, thank you. You guys are great.
No, yeah, thank you. So you have some things coming up. Let's talk about it.
I do. Well, first of all, I have a new book out that came out October 25th. It's called The Spirit of Christmas. And it is true stories from real people about basically, you know, how the busyness of Christmas season and parties and commitments and this, that, and the other can kind of drive you crazy. But it's stories that really get to the heart of the true meaning of the spirit of Christmas. And we have a foreword by Debbie Maycomer, who is a huge, huge women's fiction author. And she's kind of known as the... Yeah, she's kind of known as the Queen of Christmas. So I just found out a little while ago, a couple of hours ago, that the book is already in its third printing.
Wow.
Outstanding.
Congratulations. Yeah. So isn't Debbie from the Pacific Northwest, too?
I think she is.
I think that she lives real near where I do, as a matter of fact. So,
I think
you know,
so.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Third printing already. That's great. It sounds like a good... Good Christmas gift.
It's a good stocking stuffer.
That's right. And here's what's really very cool about it that I noticed is on your website, marleygibson.com, that's M-A-R-L-E-Y, Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N.com, I noticed that people can actually buy it in your online store and have you autograph it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I need to check those links because something happened with Amazon. They did like a reformatting and a lot of my links are broken. But yes, people can buy any of my books directly from me, and I will autograph them for you or for whomever you would like. And Christmas is coming up, so I got boxes of books that need emptying.
Yeah, very good.
Shameless self-promotion.
SSP,
shameless self-promotion. And then I also have a new book coming out in April 2012. It's called Radiate, and it is a fictionalized version of the cancer that I went through as a teenage cheerleader. So, getting a lot of good reviews on that. And, that's sort of like the book of my heart. But I'm really excited about that one. And we're going to be doing a lot of promotion for that. It's not paranormal, but it's, and it's still fiction, but it's a fictionalized version. But, a lot of it really hits home, you know, what I went through back in, 1982. Good Lord. 1882 might as well be.
Okay, and then so you and Patrick are going to be traveling to some conferences, is that right?
Yeah, we've got this event at the Old Jail in Jacksonville this weekend, and we've got some psychic fairs that we're doing coming up into this month. Then we're going to kind of just take December off and just kind of regroup and plan and plot for 2012, and what we are planning is Patrick has held an event called Ghost Talk in the past. You know, it's like Woodstock, but Ghost Talk.
Very cool.
And
but less hippies, we're
gonna
right?
Exactly. We're going to take Ghost Talk on the road, and we're going to try to have an event or at least something to do every weekend, and whether that's somebody else's event or doing a Ghost Talk wherever we park the rig, or whether it's a psychic fair or speaking to high schools or colleges or stuff. So we're going to have the Haunted Highways 2012 tour. So please, you know, check that out. We're going to be everywhere. And if you have places that you want us to investigate or come do an event at, you know, let us know, because we're trying to fill up, I guess, you know, they're what, how many weekends in the year? 52?
Yeah, 52.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 52. So,
are they going to be able to, where will they be able to follow your progress with that and find out where you're going to
be? Sure. They can follow us either on, well, they can find us on Twitter at Haunted Highways. It's all one word.
Okay.
And then we're also on Facebook. They can Facebook friend either Patrick or me, and Haunted Highways is connected to us as well. We're also going to have our Haunted Highways website up. It's haunted-highways.com. And we'll be posting events and how to buy tickets and all sorts of good stuff. And we have all sorts of merchandise. Patrick sells crystal skulls, which are really cool, things. And I sell all sorts of hematite jewelry, and we sell our books, and Patrick sells his infrared photography. So we're gonna see what 2012 is gonna be like for us on the road.
Very good. And you know, you can celebrate the end of the world on the road. So woohoo!
There you go. There you go.
Zombie apocalypse.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I have a friend that was threatening to do an event on top of Chichen Itza on December 21st, 2012.
Oh my God, that'd be like opening the Ark of the Covenant.
It would be.
No, it'd be totally rocking awesome. Okay, so MarleyGibson.com, they can friend you on Facebook. They can find you on Twitter, Haunted Highways.
Yep, or Marley Gibson on Twitter as well.
Okay, or Marley Gibson on Twitter. And, you know, for people who have teens that are interested in ghost hunting or paranormal investigation, excuse me, sorry, Rick. For kids who are interested in paranormal investigation, I can't recommend enough The Other Side. I really thought it was a great book. I handed it off to some of the teens in my life who we take places with us, and I just thought it was great. So that'd be a good Christmas gift for your kids this year. And I think that the Ghost Hunters series is great. I think it's more geared towards girls, don't you think, a little bit?
Definitely. Yeah. Although both of his sons like it. They both read the first two or three books, and they like it.
Okay, my four dogs are barking, and when they bark, they're loud, loud, loud. They probably have another lizard. They were eating a lizard today. It was awesome. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, it was great.
Let me guess, monkey, right?
No, it wasn't. Ooh. It was the other dogs. No, monkey's too little. So anyway, somebody must be out driving. So Marley, was there anything else that you wanted to mention? Any sites, anything else, sir?
No, I think that's great. I appreciate you guys having me and letting me come blather on for forever.
No, and you came in fresh off your honeymoon. Congratulations.
I did.
Congratulate Patrick for us.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
That's right. So you get going and you get to your husband, and I hope you'll come back on.
Oh, anytime. You guys just let me know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marley.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, and there she goes, Marley Gibson, everybody. That's MarleyGibson.com, MarleyGibson, Gibson, GIBSON.com. So, Rick, I know you were concerned about what we were going to talk about for the rest of the show, but...
I'm not kidding you. I was sitting here thinking to myself, it's like I was like starting to go into this panic, but you have saved the day, Karen.
No, Cheryl has saved
the day. Oh, Cheryl has saved the day.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the Lewis County Museum of History, and I was mentioning last week that I had a recorder going where we went into a section of the museum that I hadn't been in before, and I actually got 12 EVPs that I can hear. I don't necessarily know that other people can, but that I can hear in about a 15-minute frame of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I think that's remarkable, 12 EVPs within 15 minutes. That's almost unheard of.
Let's say 12 audio anomalies within 15 minutes. Let's do that. So we're gonna actually go through these. I suggest if you're listening at home, you stick some headphones on if you've got them. Because some of these are, I will tell you right now, I do have mom ears, and I have tremendous ears for EVPs. And I have had other people who've listened to them, like William Becker and members of my team, who confirm that they hear what I'm hearing. But some of them are very soft. And I can explain the circumstances. But, Rick, this is your chance to redeem yourself. I'm not going to guess what any of these say because I already know.
Okay, well, yeah, of course. But, you know, and I'm not trying to make excuses here, but I do have a pair of, you know, $11 crappy Walmart headphones. So that's totally what it is.
Whatever. Okay, so Cheryl, did you get like all 12 of them?
I did not. I just have 6.
Okay, well, we can do 6 of them. Yeah. So here's what we'll do. You play them, we'll have Rick listen, see if he can figure it out. We can play them a couple times, and then I can tell you the circumstances and what I think is going on in them, because not all of them are people saying things, I believe. So.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty. Right on.
Okay, you ready for the first one?
I believe we are.
Here we go.
This is amazing. The work on that, the intricacy.
Karen is a complete tool.
That's exactly what it said.
Yeah. Close.
No, I've totally, I'm messing with you. Actually, can we hear it again?
This is amazing. The work on that, the intricacy.
Now, Karen, was that the, was that like the really small voice, or was it the at the end?
No, it's the small voice after I say this is amazing.
Okay, does it say like, yes, it is?
I'm not sure what it says. It almost sounds like, this is an archival section of the museum, and of course, they have a lot of things that are Pacific Northwest. And mm-hmm. what Debbie and William Becker were up in the attic with me, and Debbie had pulled out this beaded bag.
Okay.
And it was a Native American beaded bag that just was this incredibly, because you know it's a handmade, very intricate item. So I say this is amazing, and I'm not sure if it says, isn't it, if it repeats what I say and says amazing. I don't think so because the syllables don't sound right, but it's not a word I've been able to make out. If you want to play it again, Cheryl, see if maybe Rick can figure it out, or you.
I thought it was repeating you saying amazing.
That was what I thought too, because we do get a lot of mimics in mm-hmm. the museum, but I don't know. So let's listen to it one more time.
Okay, here we go.
This is amazing. The work on that, the intricacy.
No, there's too many syllables there for it just to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it says it is amazing.
Okay.
Definitely says it is amazing.
It is amazing. Oh, I got to hear it one more time.
One more time. Here we go.
This is amazing. The work on that, the intricacy.
Yeah, could be.
Could be. It
does sound like that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's clearly a voice. It's clearly somebody speaking. It's got syllables. It's got consonants. It's going to be, you know, like a class B or maybe a C because it's so hard to interpret what it is. But, you know, it's an interesting little section. So that's one of them.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, Karen. Do you sure. think it's possible that many of these objects that are in this museum have attachments? Take, for example, by me. It's just something I want to ask because there is the Field Museum of Natural History up here mm-hmm. by us in Chicago. And Michael know what I'm talking about. There is a mummy called Harawa, and I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's actually said to scream, like people have actually heard it scream. So some people think that it still holds the spirit of, you know, whoever this Harawa was. So do you guys have any idea who, you know, who these spirits are that's, you know, going to be speaking to you?
Well, so yes and no.
Okay.
So a lot of the information we get is from William, who's been on the show, William Becker. He's a very gifted psychic. He actually teaches classes and helps people come to terms with some of their abilities. In fact, he has helped me to learn how to deal with some of the stuff that I have going on.
Right.
And so a lot of the information that we get is from William. But what's really interesting is, and you'll probably hear it in one or two of these, I'll have an impression. But mine is very nonspecific.
Sure.
And then William will have, you know, he'll fill in what I missed. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, you know, William, we had him on the show, and I really, really enjoy talking to him. Of course, we had a crazy person the second hour, but you know, William definitely was a really nice guy to talk to.
Right. So, So in answer to your question, I'm sorry, I was looking, Cheryl wanted me to send her something, and so I was looking through at the same time as I was talking. Yes, so there's something that happened that really makes me believe that the objects are, or that some of the ghosts are attached to objects. There's actually a couple of things.
Okay.
First of all, Debbie Knapp and South Sound Paranormal, before I joined them, were down in what they call the Native American Room. And it's a room full of Native American artifacts from the Chehalis and, Cowlitz tribes. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. Anyway, so they have all these Native American artifacts from the Chehalis and Cowlitz tribes. Well,
sure.
They got an EVP in the room that said, please help me. Well, then Debbie
went in and she realized that one of the baskets in the room was not Shehalis or Kallitz. And so she put it up in the attic. Well, they were up in the attic and they got an EVP in the same voice that said, please help me.
Okay.
So that sounds like probably an object with something attached to it, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, but you know what? These EVPs are really interesting. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week when they say, help me. Obviously, they're looking for some kind of help if they say something like that. But, you know, again, it's a slippery slope. But
right.
let's hit the other one. Let's see what the other one says.
Okay, we're ready for the next one, Cheryl?
We are just about ready. Let's see, where'd it go? Ah, there you are. Okay, here comes the next one. The file size says it's 4 seconds, so it's pretty quick.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Any happy barrel.
Get
barrel.
It? Yeah, it repeated
whisper.
Me.
Yep.
And Karen, okay, I just have to say, at the time, you guys didn't hear any of this, these whispers
no,
and whatnot. Okay,
absolutely
so they're true
not.
EVPs.
And so this was actually not up on the catwalk. This was down in Debbie's office in the museum. And we had been playing with dowsing rods. Debbie was like, somebody gave me these. I don't know what to do with them. And I was like, well, I don't know. I kind of think they're weird. And mm-hmm. we have mm-hmm. this video that's on SSPR's Facebook. You can like South Sound Paranormal Investigations, and you'll see this video. And it's, or maybe it's on Patty's, but anyway, it's, we each took turns holding these dowsing rods, these copper dowsing rods, and these things would spin in response to what we said, and we would ask it to point one place, and it would point that place and point another place. So that was while we were in there, this was going on. So you hear the male voice going, any happy? That was, those are just like little iPhone Ovilus things we were screwing around. So, and
you know, I wonder if there really is an invalidity of those, you know, the iPhone's Ovilus. A guy that I know, he has this thing, it's on his Android. It's like this ghost radar.
Yeah, I have ghost radar too.
You have ghost radar. Do you think that there's anything to those?
I will tell you a story. Okay. I think that it's an iPhone app, and I think it's most likely a toy. However, one night we were at the museum, and it was actually last year when Theo was being born or shortly thereafter. It was right around when Theo was born. So we're at the museum, and this thing was spitting out. It was the iOvilus, and it was spitting out words. And I got two words. I got the words Jim Hurt. And I, for a minute, I thought, yeah, I wonder if Jim got hurt. And I was like, no, these things are stupid. So I get home, and my husband limps to the door, and his calf is purple. He had tripped over a dog and actually crammed his calf against the corner of a thing and tore his calf muscle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Right on.
Okay. So do you want to hear the barrel one again? Or you got
it? Definitely. That one is cool.
Here it comes.
Any happy barrel.
And like I said, we get mimics a lot.
Definitely a Class A EVP, no doubt.
And there are no artifacts in Debbie's office.
Okay.
So, okay. Karen, do you come... I mean, I know you just started investigating the museum, but do you come to recognize these voices, these different EVPs?
You know, at Wellington, we have a lot of voices that we recognize because I've been up there for several years now, and we get really repeatable stuff. Mm-hmm. At the museum... what I get more is because, yeah, kind of. But what I actually get more at the museum is I recognize how they feel, the spidey sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that's what I recognize. So that's probably not what you were asking, but that's the best I can answer.
Oh,
But, yeah, they get some stuff that's, you know, we get some repeatable stuff.
Why do you think that they, at the museum, these spirits do a lot of repeating? Of what you guys say.
Well, Patty has a theory on that the mimics are something different than a ghost, or that the mimics have more kind of sinister because they're like making fun of you.
Okay.
I just think they're probably bored. So you know, here comes some flesh bags coming along. So we're going to say what we're going to say back to them. You know, it's
well. So
it's
when William when William was here, one of the EVPs that he played was Patty said, I think we're getting some action down there, and it whispered action down there behind her. That was from the museum as well, and that was in the area of that funeral hack, which is a carriage from the late 1800s that they took the families in. And this thing is what I was telling you about, Jim getting the really feeling with it, you know? Yeah. And so do I, so does everybody, but it's remarkable when it's Jim because, you know, yeah, it just is, trust me. So
your super genius husband is now a believer, correct?
He is.
Cool.
Yeah, he is. Wellington made him a believer. So, but you know, the museum is also the place I was telling you about last week where I have a picture on our Facebook page somewhere of, you know, crap that's been thrown at us at the museum. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got that really awesome book that was Natural Law in the Spiritual World by Henry Drummond.
See, and, now that's a ghost with a sense of humor, man. I can totally hang with a spirit like that.
I know. And then two pencils and a hinge and a pen.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a lot of things that have come flying from sources unknown.
They definitely want to make their presence known.
Yeah, or they don't like me.
Or they're trying to scare you away, right?
Well, but it's always, that's it. It's always in our vicinity, not right at us.
Okay.
Yep. We want to go on to the next one?
Okay. This one is, oh shoot, I lost the second count. But I think this one's the longer one, about maybe 14 seconds.
I had no idea. Okay.
I could be wrong. Okay, here we go.
She hasn't been happy for a while. She doesn't like everything going on either.
Yeah.
Isn't that one little, like, voice that's there near the beginning?
I think so. I need to hear it again.
She hasn't been happy for a while. She doesn't like everything going on either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. That's up in the catwalk beginning. Again, I think. What did it say? What's it called?
It's called Debbie's Office.
Okay, so that was us in Debbie's office again. And Patty thinks it's saying one of the names of our team members.
Let me play it one more time.
She hasn't been happy for a while. She doesn't like everything going on either.
Yeah.
Can't make it out. It's a word, but I can't make out what
mechanical.
It is.
It's not. It's, yeah.
Well, I know it's not, but it does.
It does. I know. So here's what was happening is that we were actually having a potluck there before we had the ghost tours. And our team member, Lori, was just right after this, we get this, she comes in the room and says, it's time for cake, which I, of course, didn't send on the recording. But it sounds like it's actually saying Lori. Hello?
Yeah, let's hear that. Let's hear it again. Sorry about that. I had to cough.
Okay.
So
I also was muting because I was typing. Sorry.
Okay.
Karen.
I'm all alone.
I'm talking about the Cubs right now with you know, boatless pirate Michael Kravchuk in the chat room.
All right, let's listen to this one more time. So you said Lori. Is that what you said, Karen?
I believe that's what it says.
Okay, here we go.
She hasn't been happy for a while. She doesn't like everything going on either.
Yeah. I hear Lori after you told me.
Right.
It sounds like always or all.
Oh, but look at what Crystal says. Look at the chat room. Crystal said, does it say Lori? She got it.
No.
Oh, she did get it. Wow.
Before I said it.
Before you
Yay,
said it.
Crystal.
Unbelievable. That's a tough one because it's behind voices and it's hard to pick up. So.
And I'll tell you that when I get EVPs, and I get a lot more EVPs than most people do. And I talk a lot, which may be surprising to people. And so a lot of the EVPs we get are actually underneath us talking.
Don't believe the hype, everyone.
But I do find that EVPs, a lot of times, they butt into what you're saying. It's like when we're doing a formal EVP session, I almost never get EVPs. But when we're just blah, 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 it's like they want to interact. Do you find that too, Rick?
Yeah, you know, and another thing that I find too is I've actually had a lot of EVPs where whatever is speaking actually piggybacks my voice. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced that?
I think that you may have one in here in this set. I'm not sure, but yeah,
okay.
I get that a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to hear the Lori one, or can we move on?
I think we can move on.
Yeah, move on.
Move on.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with this next one. Here we go.
Oh, it's a bull. It's a clay.
No, but I know it's a bull, but I mean, I think whatever is attached to it is not, I don't think it's human.
This is part of the rituals, and it's associated with one of the
I heard it.
Yeah, I definitely heard something. Actually, I thought I heard a couple of different voices that weren't part of anybody else there.
Okay, so this is up in the catwalk again. And Debbie doesn't tell us, and she says, you guys just come with me. And we started walking down this aisle, and both William and I were like, whoa! Mm-hmm. Just this wave of something hit us. And then she brought this bowl out, and it was this really old, ancient clay Native American bowl. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she brought it to me, it felt like it was not a person. And I don't necessarily mean like something evil. It just didn't have a person energy. And then William says, you know, it's a bowl. And I said, well, I know it's a bowl, but I think what's attached to it is not human. And then he comes up with this story and he says, well, it's, what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a person, maybe a god, who was a shapeshifter who would shift into the shape of a wolf. And Debbie says, well, that's really funny because the first time I handled this thing, I got like this feeling like I needed to go out in nature and run and like howl. And I mean, so we all sort of got the same type of energy from this that was this animal energy. So that's the story behind that. So, and it's right after I say, well, I know it's a bowl. So,
okay.
Okay, sorry, should I play it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please do.
Oh, it's a bowl. It's a clay.
No, but I know it's a bowl, but I mean, I think whatever is attached to it is not, I don't think it's human.
This is part of the rituals, and it's associated with one of the...
Okay, so it sounds like either far off laughing or crying to me.
You got a lot going on in that, though, besides just you and William talking.
You're right. There's a lot of stuff going on underneath it. There's a lot of little voices going underneath it. But the main part is what Cheryl says. And at first, I thought it was giggling. Because when we came out of that aisle later, I said to William, oh, look, there are school desks here. I wonder if this is where some of the kids in the museum are from. There are children attached to these. And he said, you know, they're right. And so I thought it was a child laughing. But then I started to think about it again, and I actually think it sounds like a dog whining.
Oh, that could be. So maybe...
Oh, sorry, Cheryl. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just saying, do you think that came from outside?
No, I do not. There are no dogs. That's not in a neighborhood.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. It sounded like a little kid crying or laughing to me.
Like a giggle, too. Yeah. So let's listen to it one more time.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's a bowl. It's a clay.
No, but I know it's a bowl, but I mean, I think whatever is attached to it is not, I don't think it's human.
This is part of the rituals, and it's associated with one of the...
It's right after you say human, and then there's a slight pause, and it's like, hee hee hee.
Yeah, and my original thought was that it was a giggle. Mm-hmm. But then
sounds like sobbing to me.
Okay, well, it could be. Could be. So, okay. So, hard to know, but you're right, Rick. I agree, there are other things. And when I say that we got these 12 EVPs in this 15-minute period of time, the whole thing was like that. There's so much going on in there, but most of it...
Oh, Karen? Hello. Rick? Anyone? Oh. Anyone there? We lost the call. Okay, if anybody can hear me, we will try and get the call back. Skype is telling me there's a problem with the call. Thank you, Skype. Chad, the show went off because Skype said there's a problem with the call. So, I'm trying to get back on. Let me do that. Here we go. Oh, the server went down. Can you tell the people in the chat room the server went down? Here we go, we're back. All right, we should be back, Karen and Rick. Karen and Rick, are you there?
Yeah, are we back on?
We are. I think the actual connection with the server went down because we had to reconnect. But
we're back on.
Yeah, we're back on. We're streaming.
Okay, so
we're live.
Crystal said it sounded like a whimpering dog.
Oh, she agreed with you. Okay. Well, Crystal's pretty good at these EVPs, and I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter.
So are we ready to move on from the sobbing, whimpering, or giggling?
Yes. Hey, real quick. Chad, can you hear us now in the chat room? Okay. Hopefully everybody can hear us. We will go on.
Were you able to get those other WAV files converted that I sent over?
I did. Yeah, I have four more after the six that you sent over, Karen, so we can definitely...
Yeah, and I'm not sure where the other two are. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's cool.
No worries. Let's see. We have one, two, three, four, five, six more to go, it looks like. So
Sweet.
We have a lot to talk about. I love EVPs, though. Thank you, Karen, for letting us play these.
Sure.
Oh, good. JoJo can in the chat room can hear us. Thank you, JoJo. Okay, let's go.
Thank God, because we bore each other if we don't have other people listening.
Yeah.
Hey,
all
you
right.
Know what? Maybe maybe one day I'll belong to a real paranormal research society, and I'll be able to play EVPs and show pictures and stuff like that. So
that'd be awesome. Well,
definitely.
Yeah, there you go.
Definitely. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Here it goes.
One, I had the singer, so I wish she had a lot of hand work. These are tall, a little.
Did you hear it?
Hear a guy whisper.
Mm. Sort of. Here, let me play it again.
One, I had the singer, so I wish she had a lot of hand work. These are tall, a little.
Yeah, I can't make out.
Do you know what it says?
Well,
it says, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. Well, Rick, what do you want to?
Do you want me to tell you?
It's fine. Yeah,
okay.
Please do. Yeah.
It says, oh my gosh.
That's what I thought it said.
Oh,
okay.
You should have said it, Rick. Say it.
Well, actually, I thought it said more like, oh my God. That's what I thought.
It says, oh my gosh, because you can actually hear that shh at the end.
Okay.
One, I had the singer, so I wish she had a lot of hand work. These are tall, a little.
I can make out syllables, but I can't really make out the words.
Yeah, it's a little less clear, across the internet connection. It's very clear when I just listen to it in the WAV file, and I know we have to do the MP3s, but the WAV uncompressed WAV file really makes a big difference with that one because it's extremely clear.
True.
So, well, and I didn't realize that, because I am not an audio person at all, that MP3s are not as good a quality as WAVs.
Yeah.
You told us that.
So let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
MP3 is a compressed file format and WAV is not.
Oh, okay.
And so you compress them so that they're smaller file size. So it's easier for me to email you an MP3 because it's this compressed smaller file, but what you give up is you give up kind of the really full audio experience that you sometimes need. So, people who are keeping EVPs and listening for EVPs, here's what I suggest. Always listen to your recordings, your audio, in WAV or its native format. If you can't listen to it in its native format, save it as a WAV. Okay?
Good tip.
Then listen to it in the WAV format, and then I recommend storing it and playing it for others in the WAV format as well, because MP3 just compresses it down too much. And you'll find that a lot of EVP specialists will tell you the same thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Okay. Very cool.
Okay, well, for our purposes, we have to play MP3s, so...
I know.
Turn up your speakers.
Well, and I'm not sure that a WAV would really work well even, because we're
still
we're going across the internet and Skype and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall I play Oh My Gosh again or move on?
It's up to you. If you two would like to see if you can hear the shh.
One
because
more time.
The reason I thought it said Oh My God originally to Rick, and then I listened to it several times and I got the shh sound.
See, when I first heard it, I definitely heard the Oh My, but I wasn't sure if it was God or gosh. I thought the shh was like, I thought it was mechanical at first. But now going back and listening to it, it does sound a little bit more organic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Okay, wait. Boatless Pirate in the chat room says that it reduces the sampling rate. Is that like the technical term?
That's the technical term.
Okay.
That's right. And he knows his EVPs. He's a gadget guy. So there you go.
Okay, cool. All right, here goes. Oh my gosh! One more time.
One, I had the singer, so I wish she had a lot of hand work. These are tall, a little.
Yeah, definitely more organic.
And it's a very kind of a deep voice, and it almost has, if you listen to it, it almost has some kind of an accent. It's not
really.
Yeah, I hear an accent in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear that again then.
Okay.
One had the singer, so she had a lot of handwork. These are tall, a little
Canadian.
Yeah, maybe it was me.
No. I mean, it sounds like that gosh, somebody Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Canada say.
It's got that round, very round O sound.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the moose is loose in the hoose, eh? So.
See? Well, we are very close to Canada here, so there you go. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Oh, no, that's
Canada-y.
All right.
That's
yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, hoser.
Heads and all.
Yeah, hoser.
I'm so glad we entertain ourselves.
You know what, though? I'm not kidding you, Karen. I have heard you say hoose and about before.
I grew up, just south of the Canadian border. I would not be surprised.
Well, see, it's like, up here, living up a little bit closer to the Wisconsin border, you hear that a lot up here, too.
Minnesota.
Oh,
that's
my.
Minnesota.
God, it's so annoying. Let's proceed.
Okay, moving on.
To all of our Canadian listeners out there.
That have now turned off their radios. Next.
Okay, this one I think was 5 seconds.
Awkward.
Five seconds long. Here we go.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Well, yeah.
I hear wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's
right after you.
Nick.
So that was actually the one before that I was telling you about, the beaded bag.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That rattling was actually Debbie pulling that thing out of the beaded bag out of its archival plastic so that I could hold it and look at it.
Mm.
So what I find strange about this EVP is that it begins to imitate what you say before you've even finished.
Mm, well, that's exactly what Rick was saying. That's what you mean by the piggybacking, right, Rick?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. It comes right in under your voice, almost to the point that it actually sounds like it's your voice.
It sounds like that many times.
But Rick, do you mean that it's saying the same thing, or you're it's just saying words? Because is saying the same thing.
No, it's like, okay, there was this, we did an investigation on a house up in Northern Lake County, and it was a former Underground Railroad, and while I'm talking, you can actually hear this, what sounds like an African American's voice. You know, it's got like that same kind of inflection to it, and it comes in just under my voice, and it says something like, "We are now free."
Hmm.
And
this one's more of a mimic, but it's that same kind of thing. Still, it's that it piggybacks.
Right. But there's also another one I was going to say too, and it was I got it at Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in Midlothian, Illinois, which is south of Chicago, and I don't remember the question that I asked, but just underneath my voice, as a whisper, you hear a guy say, "Let the mother effer feel the pain," and it was just right underneath my voice, and it was the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
It's almost like they have no sense of timing, or that their timing is like, you know what I wonder if it is, Rick, is that we speak more slowly than we think. And so if they communicate with us telepathically, because they don't have ears to hear sound waves, and they don't,
and
have,
they don't
vocal
have vocal cords.
So what they're doing is they're responding to the thought, which may be faster than the spoken word. And so it sounds like it's coming right in under your voice, but to them it's very logical. It's the appropriate pause. So that's my theory behind those.
Well, some people say that a spirit moves faster than the speed of thought. So there definitely could be some validity to that. They're definitely operating. Obviously, they're working on a higher vibrational level than we are. So,
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's that one. Do you guys want to hear it again?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I mean, that's so loud.
Yeah.
I mean, Crystal's just saying that. It's in the chat room. It's loud. It's very loud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Okay. And that's it. I mean, this is all in a very short period, and I'm getting all of these really pretty clear audio anomalies, and it's just very strange.
Well, Karen,
now,
I'm sorry, Rick. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Cheryl. Please.
I was just going to say, Karen, I think you have something to do with it because this happens to you at Waverly and it happens to you at the museum. You always get so many EVPs or disembodied voices.
And William says it's because they trust that I am going to do with them what they want me to do with them, which is up at Wellington. They wanted me to tell their story, and I did. Mm-hmm. And it may be the same thing at the museum, as they want it known that they're there. And, I mean, they're clearly seeking attention by some of the things mm-hmm. that happen. But, yeah, I'm an absolute EVP magnet. I have no explanation for it. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. See that.
Go ahead.
But that's kind of what I was going to ask. You have William with you, and I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that William is a very, very gifted or powerful psychic. I mean,
William never gets EVPs.
Never. See, no, that's so strange, though. So I wonder
because they say to William, "You can hear me. Why do I need to talk into your recorder?" That's what he says. They say to him. And so he never gets EVPs. Where I believe that because I have been very clear about my doubts. I mean, and you know, I have, how many times have I said, "Oh my God, I need this definitive thing." And how many definitive things have I had? I mean, this is what I need to believe. And I believe they're giving me what I need to believe.
Interesting.
I definitely think so.
Yeah, I need really definitive stuff. I need pens flying at me and, you know, 12 EVPs in 15 minutes and all of that stuff.
Having something unseen smack you so hard in the forehead that it gives you a headache and a mark.
Yeah, exactly. But what that's doing is that's helping me to learn to trust the impressions that I'm getting. Working with William is as well. But it's helping me to learn to trust those impressions. It's helping me to really... I haven't had a moment in quite a while now, and this will be unusual because you've heard me say, "Oh my God, I'm starting to not believe again." Mm-hmm, I haven't felt that way in quite some time.
Well, that's good.
So I think it's giving me the confirmation that I really need.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question because there's some chat going on in the chat room that I find interesting. Drake says that on the last audio, I believe he was saying it goes from the left to the right speaker. What does that mean? I mean, is that an indicator?
No freaking clue. He can call in and tell us if he wants.
Okay, yeah. I was just curious. What is does that indicate something special?
I don't know because it's an MP3. So I don't know. Mm. Let me ask him in the chat room if he wants to call in and explain that.
Yeah, I was just curious. Oh, and while we're waiting, Boatless Pirate did a Ovilus session, I think, at Bachelor's Grove. Mm-hmm. And he said he had one of the most unexplainable Ovilus sessions there, 7 words all in context. I've never used the Ovilus, but that sounds pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
I've never used it either.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and we use the talker box. And I told you that the one time that I've only gotten one thing ever on the talker box, which is like a homemade Ovilus kind of. It's from Bill Chappell still. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, Jim explained how to build one in one of the issues of Paranormal Underground magazine. Yeah. But anyway, the one time it's said something that really made sense to me is up at Wellington, and Tanner says, "Are you Italian?" And the talker box says, "Not Italian." And the thing with the talker box is it doesn't say words. It says, you know, it says syllables. And it put together, "Not Italian."
Okay. Oh my God, that's embarrassing. Okay, I'm just gonna clear this up. It's boat. Right. It's boatless pirate, not buttless pirate, as some people in the chat room say that I said. But it's
Mike.
Boat.
Mike, you have no ass.
Michael Krawczyk, boatless pirate.
Mullins, everyone just said that Cheryl was saying buttless pirate. So
nice.
Okay, he said, "The EVP definitely started solely in my left ear, moved across totally into my right ear with headphones on." So okay. I don't know, but that's interesting.
Yeah, so, that is interesting. Okay. I'm going to listen for that next time. Okay, here comes the next one.
Well, do you want to play the WoW again?
Oops, sorry. Yes, okay. I do. I do want to play the WoW one first.
So you can listen for that? Okay.
Yeah, let's do that one more time. Okay.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Kind of sounded like that.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
And what's interesting is after the wow, there's another little voice in there too.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't even hear that one.
Yeah. Okay,
wow,
so next.
There's too much to catch.
On.
Okay, here comes the next one.
My very proper, very upper-class in the old country family, my grandfather distilled the down payment on the house. And my grandmother aged the whiskey.
I'm going to have to hear it again. Okay. I don't remember what it... What.
For one, I got too caught up in listening to William's voice, which is really, like, smooth and, like, lulling. I love his voice. Okay, sorry. Let's replay that one.
My very proper, very upper-class in the old country family, my grandfather distilled the down payment on the house. And my grandmother aged the whiskey...
there it is. It's a kid giggling.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting about that. We were standing right next to those desks, and William was pointing to a still and talking about his story about a still. His grandparents made their down payment on their house by, you know, bootlegging.
So. Rob in the chat room says that he can hear female voice right after William say down payment on the house.
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. In this one we just played?
I think so, yeah. Let's listen again.
We need to listen again. I did not hear that at all. I heard the giggling in two different places. Too. Okay, let's listen.
My very proper, very upper-class in the old country family, my grandfather distilled the down payment on the house. And my grandmother aged the whiskey.
So here's what's interesting about it is it actually sounds like there's a crowd murmuring under that.
There's a
as
lot,
well.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of voices.
But all I really hear underneath, you know, William talking is like it sounds like, you know, like brushing against the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
That's
there
what
is
it
a
sounds
gig-
like to
yeah,
me.
There is a giggle in there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely heard that.
Sorry, I really don't hear it.
You hear it better on the wave.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. I really just do not hear it.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next one.
Okay, we have three more. Okay. The first one's 5 seconds, and the last two are 3 seconds each.
Okay.
So we'll be able to get these in. Okay, here we go.
Tom hanging at the top of the stairs there.
Well, there's a guy with a cowboy
behind. That's Tom, isn't
yeah.
it?
That one compressed badly, too. It's somebody, yeah. There's a guy that hangs at the top of the stairs. He has a gun. He poked me in the butt with it one day, or in the side with it
nice.
One day. And his name is Tom, and he's very protective of the catwalk. So this is just as we're coming up into the catwalk. And, I don't remember what it... Oh, yeah, it says, okay, it's right after I say, it's Tom, isn't it? You should be able to hear it.
Okay.
Okay.
Tom hanging at the top of the stairs there.
Well, there's a guy with a cowboy behind.
That's Tom, isn't it?
Well, I hear whispering.
No.
I can't really make it out.
Again, you know, it's the whispering. I hate that insufferable whispering.
That's because we were on the set of Lost, and it was the others that were whispering in the field as we were. But anyway, there is a male voice in there that says, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just another one. God, yeah. I suck.
No, part of it is, again, they're much better in wave format as opposed to the MP3. So you can play it again if you want, or you don't have to, you know, what if.
Okay. No, let's move on.
Okay, then.
Okay, also, I need to ask Michael if I can play this file he just sent me. But let's finish these two first.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
it's
here
probably
we-
Buttless Pirate.
Here we go.
There's a little botulism in here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what it said.
Yeah, that's exactly what it said. Yep.
There's a little botulism in here. It's also...
So, here's what we were... Still, this is by that bowl and the beaded bag again, because those were in the same roll, right? And he says it's an edited email for the obelisk. Anyway, okay, so there were these cans of, like, vegetable cans from, like, the I don't know, 30s or something. And they were, like, swollen. And I picked them up. I was like, oh, botulism. And then the point says, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to listen to that one more time.
Okay. There's a little botulism in here. It's also...
Yeah.
they felt that there was botulism in there, and they were right.
They were right. They probably died from that.
Maybe.
So.
Could be. Yeah. It was the ghost of the peas. I don't know.
Okay, here's the last one from Karen's investigation. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Is that new?
Whoa, wait quick. A second. Was that a woman's voice I heard there?
I have no idea. I don't. I'm gonna look into
that. I'm afraid. Is that new?
I don't get anything out of that.
I don't remember.
The file name is Yelps.
Oh, that's where you hear the dog yelps.
Oh,
the wolf yelps.
Where at? Whereabouts?
Looking at the bowl. I don't know.
Okay, let me try it one more time.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Is that new?
It's underneath. You hear this, and it's you have to listen really carefully because it's underneath all of us.
I couldn't hear it, Rick. Could you hear that?
No, I honestly couldn't.
All right, let me load up Michael's Ovilus audio real quick. If we can fit that in here in the next few minutes.
Sure, we have 8 minutes left.
Okay.
You know what? I mean, it's like when we talk about this stuff and I can't hear it, it's like I feel like a tool because it's like, man, you know, I should be able to hear this stuff. You know, it's like, ah, oh, God, and
well,
I go.
Well, play that one. Play that one again, and we'll see. Okay. But I can vary, and everybody else who's listened to it, but they've listened to it in the WAV format. So.
Okay, give me a sec.
Sure.
Give me a sec.
We'll just stall. Well,
and here's the thing, Rick.
It's supposed to snow here tonight, guys.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Really?
Totally serious.
I'm so jealous. We don't get snow here.
I don't like snow.
It was 20 degrees here last night. I'm driving on my way to work, and I'm freezing my ass off, man. And that's because you were
a great buttless pirate.
Yeah.
Next time wear the chaps with ass and asses when you go to work in 20-degree weather.
He knows what I'm talking about.
So are we done stalling? Are we good?
Okay. We are, but I was just going to remind Rick that it is over. Remember, it is over the internet. It's a what did Michael say? It's a for goodness sake, I don't know. It's not going to be as clear.
Yeah. No, I definitely know that. I just don't understand. It's like I never could quite. I love EVPs. Yeah. No, it's not that. It's like, you know, but like with you, Karen, you got the mom ears. It's like Jamie tells me all the time, I cannot hear Theo when he cries at all.
But women also can hear in the middle of the night. Women's hearing is actually geared to higher pitches so that we can hear our children. And so a lot of the things that you're not picking up are actually, those yelps are high pitched.
Yeah, well, it's like what I'm saying is that they're, again, on that higher vibrational level. Maybe that's why women are better at hearing EVPs than men.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's that evolutionary thing.
Okay, so one more time.
Let's play the yelps one more time, then we'll do Michael's.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. Is that new?
It's right in the beginning. She says, yeah, and I start to say, and William starts to speak, and there's like,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, there are yelps in there.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe I sent those to you, Rick, in WAV format.
You know what? I almost forgot to tell you about that. I, for whatever reason, I could not listen. They would not download on my computer.
That happens
all the time.
I don't know what to tell you. Let's listen to Michael's.
Okay. Here's what Michael said. He sent over an interesting session that they did on the Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois. The building used to be a hotel and had a fire in 1915 that killed at least 2 people with many missing. They had just wrapped up a ghost box session with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, which was yielding nothing. Then they entered the basement.
Lucky.
they then entered the basement dressing room where a group was wrapping up an EVP session. They explained that the last time they were there, they got an EVP saying, fire, run. As you are aware, with the FX, yeah, right, okay. I'm not aware, but its level is set for the first 20 to 30 words, but sometimes those yield the best results. Immediately, when he turned on the FX, he got ashes, after, heat, hurry, suffer, stares. 6 words in order in direct context to the site history and conversation. In the year that he had the FX, this had happened about 4 to 5 times. So actually,
only have a couple minutes, so let's listen.
Right, I have 2 files. I'm going to play the Lincoln one first that he described, and then the Batcher's Grove that he sent over.
Okay,
I'm just going to stop talking and play. Here we go.
set to 200 in canary mode. Ashes.
Ashes.
Ashes. It's fire. Yeah.
Look at this.
After.
After. Ashes after.
He's.
Holy shit.
Sometimes those first ones.
Carries.
Those first ones were. Yeah, seems to be it. Yeah.
Fire, heat, after, ashes.
Ashes.
Suffer.
I got chills. And I'm not just talking Greeks here.
Okay, just to stare. When there was a fire, did you have trouble getting up the stairs?
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would say so.
Wow.
And here's what I love about, you know, we're all these experienced, very calm and cool paranormal investigators, and yet whenever something happens, we're all like, holy shit. That is not just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't be like, you know, we can't all be Mr. Spock the Ghost Hunter or anything like that. I mean, there's definitely still a thrill there, you know?
Get excited. Definitely. That's right. Okay, so do we have time to do
yes,
that last little
bit? We do. We're going to do the next one real quick. Here we go.
Earth? It's an interesting combination. Field?
Trail.
Trail.
Six.
Okay, that was during daylight during an open house at Chicago's Bachelor's Grove.
Interesting. Yeah.
And he has
don't discount that the obelisk may be, you know, something of value. Mm-hmm. And but you know, the iPhone app sort of makes me wonder. But so thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Marley Gibson.
Yes.
Sorry.
We have two minutes left. Next week is Thanksgiving. We will be playing a rerun.
Yes.
And everybody have a good and safe Thanksgiving, and we will be back the following week.
Happy holidays.
So, everybody, happy Thanksgiving from Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye, everyone.
Gators.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z Talk Radio Network.